Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guest to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Are you guys tired of hearing me say welcome 3 times, 4 times? Do you count each week? Is it different? Am I a little too excited for you? I don't know. Mission accepted. How would I not be excited? If you have not been to the show, if this is your first time coming, welcome. There's a fourth one for you. If you've been coming back and back, well, those are all the 3 welcomes that I gave to you earlier. Thank you so much. We have had a huge response. Thank you so much for the response and the support on the name change and the vibe change, right? So if you haven't been to Mission Accepted before, this is a place where entrepreneurs, entrepreneurs, creatives, singers, media, self-funded media like radio hosts and TV hosts and show hosts, they come on and they tell us when they accepted the mission, why they accept a mission, and for God's sakes, why they keep taking it on. Because when you take on a mission and you are an entrepreneurial spirited person, you can, that mission continues to grow. Sometimes we feel like kind of taking a nap a little bit, but we keep going on. And so it's a place of inspiration and hope, and honestly, really, really good nuggets. So I'm super excited today because we have someone who has had that spark since 11 years old, and she's going to tell her first entry a little bit into this world. Outside of that, she's been in this entrepreneurial world for about 27 years, which is very interesting because if you guys know, there's 1 week of the show that's called Gen Z is Us. And really, it's the word Gen Z and genius put together because these guys are rocking it. And so not only do we have experts like Jody that are coming on to talk about what it's like to be in business for 27 years, we have Gen Z coming on who have no idea what it's like to even be 27 years old. And we are learning so much generationally from this whole new world of entrepreneurship. So Jody, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's kind of funny that you say that, the Gen Z, because I tell my kids, like, back in the day when we did stuff, we didn't have Zoom, we didn't have Facebook, we didn't have social media. And yet, you know, we were significant income earners. So I love, love that you're bringing the kids into it too, to really know what we went through as entrepreneurs. I mean, 27 years is a journey, right?
Absolutely. And here's the interesting thing, you know, sometimes, shall I say, people of our wisdom, that's how I'm going to put it. People of our wisdom, they're like, oh man, you know, I can't keep up with these kids and they're so more tech savvy and they're so this and so that. And I'm like, do not diminish the wealth that you have in relationship, in knowing how to communicate, right? Which we're going to talk about today, in knowing how to shake your hand. And that used to be the deal. We used to shake people's hands. We used to sign on dotted lines. And that was your word. Now you can make up and break up in a text. I honestly, the day I started getting wedding invitations on Facebook, I thought our world had, you know, toppled over. But there's a lot of things that we have that they need, you know, and then there's a lot of things that they have naturally that we need to learn. So I think the blending of the generations is super important in the world of business now, where it used to be. And I'm not saying don't kind of respect your elders, but it was like the person that was in the game the longest knew the most. And that's not necessarily the case now. Now, I don't want to tell my 18-year-old that he doesn't have to respect his elders. There is something to be said for having mentors and people that have gone before you, for sure. But there's pieces of wisdom that now are emerging within the generations.
I think so too. And I think it's that they're much more quicker to do the learn it, do it, than teach it. Whereas our generation, you know, a lot of perfectionists back in our generation, right? And still, even with a lot of women that I work with that are my age, they want to have it perfect, before they put it out there. I'm like, yeah, just do it messy. Just get it done. And we have to come, stop being the perfectionist.
Mm-hmm.
And just do it. And I think that is the one thing with our kids is that they're not as scared and they don't know. They don't have any limits, right? And when you don't have a life that has limits, you are limitless.
Well, and you think about the different generations and the different cultures of generation, right? And depending where you were born, depending what family you were born into, but there was pretty well a hierarchy, even in the family, of knowledge and knowingness and respect. And so, you know, if your 18-year-old was sitting around the table and you were a parent or an aunt or what have you, and you were in business, chances are in my generation, and, I know that we have listeners, not viewers for some people, and I know you can't see, but we're not 18. I'm just going to say that. But an 18 would never at the dinner table go, hey, this is how you should do your business. I mean, it just wasn't culturally acceptable either, right? So there's been a whole, I think our generation took the lid off and going, hey, let's hear what it is that you want to do.
It's funny that you say that because my dad, I grew up very entrepreneurial. That's probably what you're about to say.
Yeah.
How I grew up. And my dad is a teacher. He's retired now. My mom always supported him. She always had some little side job or whatever, you know, to help support the family. But she didn't do it entrepreneurial. She enjoyed to have her go to work, get paid the dollar, come home, you know, and help. My dad, however, was very entrepreneurial. And so I think he was one of the first people in Canada to sign up with, am I allowed to say names?
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. This isn't the book.
So, he was one of the first people to sign up with Amway way back in the day. And so I grew up, I think I was about 8 or 9 when my parents joined that. And so really sitting at the dinner table, that's what my parents talked about. They talked business and they talked about who they were signing up. And we always had people over at our house. And that was actually one thing that growing up in my 20s that I didn't want to do was the hustle. Like I saw my dad hustle a lot. And I thought, I didn't really want to be in a business where you hustled and your family got put second, because quite frankly, we did a lot mm-hmm. of times. My dad worked during the day. So his evenings, every evening was a meeting or a get together, or he was helping someone, which was very gracious of him. But for us kids, I felt like we got dragged along instead of maybe getting the essence. I don't know how you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I felt dragged along.
Absolutely.
To another meeting. We're just meeting all these, I was 9 years old and sat on the lap of Zig Ziglar.
Yeah.
Who has that growing up? Not too many people. So
there you go. And I think that's a prime pro con experience, right? So I think it's very interesting. That's sometimes the fear of people going into entrepreneurship is that they're going to have to give up part of something that feels like sacrifice. And then you talk to people that are successful and they're like, there is sacrifice, just like there is it's a different kind of sacrifice when you're working for someone versus a different kind of sacrifice not working for someone. And then someone like your father who was breaking ground and pioneering, I mean, that dance of having to do both. And it's funny because when you talk, I have 2 children. I've been an entrepreneur for 30 years, much like yourself. And my daughter was raised in that, but my son was really raised in that. Right. And so my daughter went entrepreneurial at 15 and launched her first clothing company. Ironically, my son would be in clothing. And she had a little art business and then clothing. Ironically, so is my son, even though they're 10 and a half years apart. But she then really fell in love with corporate. And so she really liked that corporate ladder and the suit and her thing. My son at 15 announces he wants to be an entrepreneur. What comes out of my mouth? I'm like, you haven't seen this party? Because not that it's a bad thing, but it's so interesting what we take, right? And then what plays out later. So I think, hats off. I want to get into you though. So look, I had made a big announcement. First of all, I want to say that Jody is one of our most distinguished authors in the upcoming book, 22 Entrepreneurial Women and History-Making Couples in Network Marketing Tell All, to launch July of this year. If you're listening to this after, well, then just go get the darn book, because it's going to be on Amazon for you to get. So she's done many, many, many things in the sector to support not only the industry, but she's also been in the field. And so that's exciting. And one of her fortes, I mean, trust me, I'm going to get you to talk about how you broke entrepreneurial ground at 11. You can start there. But I just want to announce one of her fortes really plays in the arena of being your authentic self through understanding the dimensions of different people's personality. And she's going to dig into that a little bit for us. And honestly, that's not just good in business. That's darn good in life. You know, that's a skill that I'm sure your children and grandchild as they grow older will very much benefit from your beauty of communication. So that was a big long-winded intro to say, tell us, Miss 11-year-old, how you broke into entrepreneurship, and then share with us where you play now.
Exactly. I think, as I mentioned, my dad was an iconic person in my life growing up. And when I was 11, I wanted to make my own money, right? That's what we were like at 11. My parents were very, you know, we're not going to pay for the expense of this, this, and this. I think it was jeans, clothes. I was motivated by clothes. And my dad was actually principal of a Christian school. So we wore a uniform. But if I wanted stuff outside of that and to wear to like youth group and events and things like that, I had to pay for it myself. My parents were generous that they gave us, you know, allowance and stuff like that, but it wasn't enough for me. So my first gig that I did was babysitting. So I babysat for a lot of people in the church, but because of who I was, and I took, even babysitting was a job. I was not one of those babysitters that went there and just, you know, watch TV, whatever. I did my job as a job. I played with the children. I put them to bed. I did the dishes. I cleaned up. Like, for me, it was a service. So of course people wanted me more, and I'm like, I don't have time. Like, I was also a competitive gymnast at the time and stuff too. So I had a lot of things as an 11-year-old. And so I thought, well, how can I optimize this the most? So what I did was I got my friends together and I did this big chart at church, and I would put my friends' names on there and stuff. And I used to tell them, you know, jokingly, but not jokingly, like, hey, you're going to go there this night, give me back a little bit of a kickback. So what they would do is they would pay me a dollar or two for being on the board. And that was kind of my first entrepreneurial gig. I didn't know it at the time, but yeah. So I made money from setting up my friends with babysitting gigs. That was my first entrepreneurial experience.
Oh my gosh, look at you multiplying and duplicating. It's like, you know, it's like duplicating yourself. Wow, I'm so surprised you ended up in direct sales. How interesting, right? That's right. A great story. That's a great, you know what I think I get from that story?
Yeah.
Which is what we would all want as someone, if you were hiring somebody, if you were being employed by somebody. I always said to my son two things. One, if you can't manage $10, you can't manage 10,000. And two is, be proud of everything you do, even if it's painting a fence. Because it was like when you said you looked at it as a service, babysitting as a service.
And I remember telling my friends, like, if you're not there doing dishes and doing other things, I'm not going to refer you. Like, I will take you off the board. I mean, 11 years old, dictating to my friends how they
Miss Bossy, right? Miss Bossy.
But all right. I just learned at that early age of doing that. And then in my 20s, when I first joined a direct sales company, there was a few things that I went into it with that I didn't want to repeat from seeing my dad do stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Love my father. Great person. But, you know, he also failed several times too in businesses. And so one of the things that I did not want to do was I didn't want to have my kids tripping over boxes and boxes and boxes of product. So I was really intentional that when I did join a company, that I didn't want a company that I had to have a lot of stock. That was number one. No stock, no doing the 24/7 either of trying to recruit people. So those were my two kind of things. And I accidentally fell into my first one because I had a party, a home party, and I loved the products, but I couldn't really afford them. And so at the time, my ex-husband had just finished some schooling. And so we were a little bit poor kids, right? We were young married, two kids. And so I was sitting there writing this want list of what I wanted. And my best friend leaned over and she's like, find out what the kit is. Just get the kit. And so that's actually how I started. So I call it an accidental start, because the person who signed me up didn't know anything about business, didn't know anything about running a business, didn't know how to even host a party correctly. And so when I got the kit, I opened it up and it said, you have to have 6 shows. I'm like, oh, I did not know this was a requirement. And so it was just, and I was 7 hours from my upline, like who would be a good trainer for me, because I'm up here in the middle of BC, Canada, and my training upline was down in Vancouver. So I literally had the book to tell me what to do, how to do it. My first show, I remember opening it up and going through the manual and basically, oh, I'm supposed to be doing this now. And so that's basically how I did my first show. It was over $400 in sales, and I had 4 bookings from it. I didn't even know what the heck I was doing. And so I remember going home to my ex-husband and him kind of smirking like, oh yeah, how'd it go, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, I quit everything else I was doing, because I was doing a few, you know, door-to-door Avon, I don't know, catalog things that weren't making any money. And I just remember saying to him, I quit. And he's like, uh-huh. Like, told you so. And I'm like, no, I quit everything else. Like, I just made $125 in an evening, the honest way. And we joke about that anyways.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I got like 4 bookings from it. Like, I quadrupled literally in one evening what I was doing. And so that's what hooked me. And I haven't looked back since. It's been, I love it. Everything about direct sales, I love.
Awesome. Well, tell us, I mean, that's a great story. And we hear so many, you know, however it happens for people, right? Sometimes it's accident. I decided to create a company because my mom did. So it's interesting, because you got dragged to parties, meetings. I got dragged, but I was excited because, my mom was in Tupperware. And so it was all women. And I got to go as an 8-year-old and listen to these women say things that I wasn't supposed to say. And I got to eat snacks and, you know, get the little, you know, prizes and all that kind of stuff. I'm sure my mom was dreading having to take me again to another party. But for me, I thought it was a cool outing. And then it made that impression on me. And then in my 20s, that impression moved me towards this industry. You know, what moved you was wanting the stuff, you know, for a better price. It's all interesting how we kind of fall into it. And then, you know, obviously you've stuck and stayed in the industry. And I think that's really one of the key factors for people. Like, you know, your first company may not be your last company. Your first upline may not be your last upline. The people that come in with you may not be the people that end with you. But if there's a stick and stay, which you have done, then success kind of comes with that. Like, it's that consistent stick and stay that makes you become better, smarter, stronger, and then more successful. So you've stayed, but you obviously have a skill in terms of communication. So tell us about this personality stuff, because, you know, if you were to ask anybody how many personalities are out there in the world, you'd probably get anywhere between, you know, 50 and 100, depending how old they are.
There's four different personalities. So I work with a company as one of my tools now, which is called Personality Dimensions. So I train in leadership and sales development, and ideally for people in direct sales. That's what I love. That's where my background is. And it's one thing to be a leader, but it's one thing to be a leader who can teach what you do effectively, because a lot of salespeople are, I think, natural in that. And then a lot of people are not natural and need to be taught that. And so in the company I was with them for several years, and I was at the leadership level where they're like, we want you to train on sales. Like, how are you doing these? You know, because I had an average with that company of $1,000 parties with a minimum 2 to 3 bookings at each show. So literally I only did maybe 4 shows a month. And then when I got into leadership and they asked me, or, you know, at their conventions and things like that, we want you to train on this. And I didn't know how. because I was just so brought up in that world. And then to turn your brain switch to a different perspective of, oh, I actually have to put out some kind of system or something in place where I actually train people how to do this. And so my sister-in-law at the time, or she's still my sister-in-law, it's with my new spouse. We had six kids by then, two his, two mine, and two together. And she said, you should be a personalized dimensions facilitator. This would probably help your business. And I thought, oh, okay. So I took the course and became a facilitator. And then I loved it so much that the first year that I actually used it with my team, I grew my business by 148%. And this was a year that was a struggle for me. I was pregnant with kiddo number six. I was on bed rest. I couldn't do any parties because my doctor said I had a stillborn birth a few years before that. So my doctor was very, no, you need to be on bed rest. The safety of you and your baby is at stake here. And so 5-6 weeks before he was born, and then about another 8 weeks after he was born was bed rest. So that's like 5 months. And when you're in direct sales, 5 months is a lot of time. So I use the personality dimensions as a tool for my team, that I got to know my team really well. I did a lot of calls every day, and I really developed my business that year in a different way. I got a lot of negative feedback from a lot of other leaders because I was not hosting my monthly coaching. I wasn't doing a lot of traditional things. But at the end of the year, I was flabbergasted to realize that that's how I had increased my business. And then I won this national award. So the year that was like, I felt the most crappy year of business, where I'm like in bed and trying to navigate six children. And, you know, there's a lot of all these things up in the air, and I wasn't running my business. And I felt a lot of shame and guilt because I was not running it the way other people thought I should. But I remember the president of the company when I came up on the stage to receive this award, and a national one for leadership, and she brought me in close to her and just said these words. And it's actually, this is, you know, in the book a little bit here, but she said the words that changed my life, which was, you didn't win this, you earned it. And then that just changed my perspective of, I thought, how many other women in this world get accolades that they don't think that they deserved? They got this high prestigious, you know, awards or on stage for something, and they just feel in their hearts that they didn't deserve it. So that's where I thought, I'm going to change that. I had so many other women from other businesses always approach me. How are you doing your sales? How are you doing your training? And after I had that year, I've now used personality dimensions as a tool to really have authentic sales conversations, know who you are, and then be able to talk authentically to the other personalities in their language that brings them in, draws them in. And so I have never in 27 years been told I'm a pushy salesperson. In fact, I tell people I'm a crappy salesperson. I hate sales, but I'm a great service person. And when you shift that and change that to people of how can you serve that other person you're talking to, it brings on a whole different dimension. So that's how I use the personality dimensions, is just, it's a conversation starter. And it allows people that I work with to learn how to have conversation starters
based on the people they're having conversations with. And that's part of the,
that's part of the training for sure.
Right. So the audience isn't able to take the course right now in this moment. Is there one or two tips that you can share with anyone out there that's looking to have better communication? We're talking about business, but you know, I'm sure you can rely it into other areas of your life. Is there a couple of things that you can tell people that are just some of those basics, kind of philosophies that will help people?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I always do twice a month. I actually host half day workshops for people. So anyone can join, even if you're not in a business, but you want to learn a little bit about communication with your spouse, your children. Of course, leadership programs are what I develop the most, but there's always this fun that I have lots of couples who actually generally, if the wife will go in, she'll actually have her husband come in for the half day workshop as well. And it's a lot of fun that way. I know that there's four different, it's based on Carl Jung's theory of there's four different personality types. I'm also a Myers-Briggs tester, but I find that that one's a very long test and people, I don't even like it. So I stopped doing that test, but I find that this is a fun way of people knowing what their color is and their color preference. And then in the workshop, I also do exercises that bring people into what's your least brightest color? Because the thing with the personality dimensions is that I never want people to use it as a weapon. Right. It should always be used as a, how can you see something from the other person's perspective while being true to who you are in your color?
Okay.
So for example, my husband and I are opposites, go figure. And he's an analyzing personality where I am not so much the analyzing personality. So when we're, for example, looking for a new vehicle, I'm like, ooh, it's bright and colors and how fast can it go? And I prefer two-seaters, even though I have a zillion children. And so he will go into car shopping in a different perspective. How much mileage does it get? Is it safe for the family? You know, and he'll go into the different brands and this and that. And I'm like, I don't care about that. All I know, I have a dock diving champion dog. And so I just want to have a place where me and Booker can load all our crap in, have it flat. He's not going to break a leg in the back seat, and that I can go to my events and have fun. That's what I'm looking for.
Right.
You figure out the other side. And so with these different types of personalities, you know their strengths.
Yeah.
It's also nice to know when they're not in esteem behavior, kind of how to, what they also need to make them more complete too. So
right.
Those are kind of the two things that I love talking about. And people interest me, right? Anybody, any person who wants to better themselves or wants to help those around them or see the other person's point of view. That's really what the personality dimensions is meant to do. Not use it as a weapon, but use it so that you can bring unity, whether it's into a team environment, a home environment, or even figuring out for yourself what your true core values are.
That's awesome. I mean, obviously that would make for just a more harmonious. When you talk, I think of the word harmony, being able to have someone feel heard because you're talking their language, yet you still get to be you. You're not a chameleon every day. But I think, you know, it's not a difficult concept, because we all know people in our lives that need certain things, the more that you need them. I mean, particularly if you're a parent, you know that I could never have said to Ocean, hey, go put your jacket on, we're going outside. He did not respond well to being told what to do when he was younger. We used to call him Spirit. If you ever remember that movie, Spirit, DreamWorks, yeah. That wild horse. Oh my word. So I'd be like, so everyone would go, I'd be like, okay, everybody, we're heading out. I'm like, oh, it's cold out there. I better get my jacket. And so he would just watch that and grab his jacket. And so just knowing how to work with people, and not from a, like you said, from a weapon standpoint, because you want to close the sale or you wanted this or that, but to make them feel heard and make them feel like their way of thinking mm-hmm. has a part of the circle. So that's
exactly.
That's amazing. Yeah.
And I think with people too, when they ask like, oh, how can I connect with someone else or do this? And I'm like, let's put it this way. If you went to and I'm sure you've done this a lot because I know I have, I love going to parties. I love meeting new people. I love events and it's the excitement. And you know, when you go to something and you just click with a person, okay? I mean, like you and I just literally met a couple months ago and we clicked. I mean, everything, I'm like, how did we not get into the same space? Like, how is it that I did not know Deb like years ago? Like, but again, I also believe God has a place and a time for everyone to coexist and meet and mm-hmm. flow into mm-hmm. the universe, right? And let's say you're at a party and you really connect with a person and you think, and you probably exchange numbers. It doesn't matter, men, women, whatever, but it's just that you connected with them. They think like you. Chances are out of the four personalities, you are probably in alignment with that same personality and you're drawn to that. Now, let's take a difficult client or customer or someone who at the same party could rub you the wrong way, like, you know, having your drink or whatever and be like, okay, there's no way I even want to meet this person again in my life. If they stay in their vortex and I stay in mine, all is well with the world. I mean, how many people have had that experience? Everyone can put their hand up to that, right? Yeah. And the thing is that they're just in a different personality scope than you. That's all it is. And chances are, if you met that person again, because I know some people that I thought were total, you know, pricks, that I'm like, I don't ever want to meet that person again. But then I met them a few months later in a different situation where they felt more comfortable because they weren't comfortable at that first event that I met them at.
Right.
A couple months later, I meet them at something else and I get to know them and they're speaking their authentic language more. And I'm thinking, oh, my first impression of this person wasn't what I originally thought. And so that's where personality dimensions can really come into scope, because in a lot of businesses, I sold furniture for a few years too, was their top salesperson in Canada. And everybody who walked in the door, the other salespeople would be like, sizing them up and down. Jody, you can have that person because they were a difficult person coming in and everybody could sense it, right? They're all mean and rough and rah, rah, rah. And I have to buy something because something broke down and they're angry at the world. And so immediately everyone in the whole, you know, building would be, Jody, you can have that person. Gee, thanks. But again, I would use personality dimensions, ask a few questions just to see what type of personality I'm dealing with, and then give them, the customer, what they want. And they would come out a happy customer, refer people back to me. And so even I took it as a challenge that the difficult people, I just like, how can I speak their language? How can I actually serve them the way they deserve to be served?
I think that's, you know, all of us have known those events that you're going to. And if we recognize ourselves, even if we're used to it, I mean, Jody, you and I, we talk to people, honestly, we're on the air right now. So this is obviously, this is a wheelhouse that we've gotten ourselves comfortable with. You know, it's interesting because people will see different people and they'll think, oh, they're super comfortable in public. They're super, like somehow we have a cape that never comes off or something. But the truth is, I walk into events and I'm nervous as well. There's a sense of nervousness around who's there. You know, you got the goblins. I call them the goblins. This one's like, I'm super excited to go. Can't wait to meet new people. This one is like, am I good enough to be there? Who am I going to meet? Do I look okay? Is my hair right? Am I going to stay the right? Whatever, right? Or there's, you know, all of those things are going on for everybody. And so when you're at an event, sometimes the first person that you meet is someone's nervous self or someone's not sure enough self. And you might not be in your best self either. And then so I love that whole second approach thing. My girlfriend has that approach to dating because of course it's the world of online dating. And when you meet people the first time, there's a lot of people that go, oh, forget it. Now, if you're not a jive, you're not a jive. But someone said to her, maybe that person was nervous when they first met you. It doesn't hurt to have a second date. And then someone else tends to show up on the second date because of that nervousness is kind of done. And then you get to be more yourself. I just think that was something to highlight because we all go into that arena, whether you're meeting someone's family for the first time or you're braving up to go onto a trade show. I used to always say when we were on trade shows, I'm like, okay, let's get our skin, you know, toughened up. Let's just all go out there and get our first 10 no's. You know what I mean? Like, let's show up. It's Thursday night or whatever. I'm like, let's just get these first 10 no's done so that we can get into business, right?
That's funny. And I think for a lot of people, whenever they join a business, a company, or being an entrepreneur, I think the one thing that people want is satisfaction. They want to know that what they did was really well done and that they have the satisfaction of, I really helped Deborah today. I served Deborah. She walked away with a smile on her face. And for me, satisfaction in a nutshell is moving in the direction of who you really are.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been kind of like, I have it up here actually on my wall, and I'm going to put it in some, I have a new office space here. So I have a blank wall. I'm like, what am I going to put on there? And I think just the word satisfaction, that moving in the direction of who you really are. So I know for me, I've always been the voice that has, I've helped thousands of women get their light bulb moments. And for me, that's the satisfaction. That's right. The game. It has nothing to do with me, the ego. It all is about the other person, and that they can walk away with that little bit of a light bulb moment. So, yeah.
I want to ask you something, because I know that you've just been part, you've just finished writing, like you've just sent in your chapter for a book, for the book that we were talking about. I don't know if that's your first book, but interesting enough, I just got asked to do a chapter in someone's book. And the first thing that comes up is, I don't have time. Then I'm like, yeah, you do. Just put it at the top of the list and crank it out. And so whatever. So I did. And very interesting process, right? You write it. A lot of people are kind of joining into anthologies right now. People are really starting to be their own author, talk their own authentic self. So what was it like for you? What was it like for you? Because there's a lot of people out there like, oh, I'm being asked to be in a book, but I don't know. Like, I don't know if I'm like, people go through all sorts of stuff around whether they should or not. And they say time or money, but it's really, is my story strong enough? I've never put myself out there like that before. Maybe talk a little bit about your experience on that.
So I've not written into a book before, but I have always wanted to. I actually joined a company several years ago after I had left the original direct sales company I was with. And one was like a blogging platform. So I learned a lot of good writing skills and being authentic, having an authentic voice that way. So when I actually did your chapter, it came out really, really easy. It was a very easy flow for me. And I'm very thankful that when I sent it off to my marketing coach, she was like, it's great, make a few of these changes. And she's like, it's a real powerful story. So I think from experience of having blogged in the past and I'm not really a writer. So that was a challenge because I thought, I don't know, how am I going to do this? I'm a speaker, and God has given, has opened up this part of me. And so I know, and for those who are listening, I'm pointing to my throat, but I know that's my God-given gift, is being able to speak authentically to people and have them go, oh, I get that. She said it in a way that I understood. So how could you put that into paper? So for myself, what I did is I just kind of let it flow. Mm-hmm. I knew kind of, I was a past radio. I had my own radio program for over 9 years. So I kind of thought, well, if I was being interviewed and I was asking questions, how would that look? And so I love the prompts that you gave. That was really, really wonderful. It helped kind of spur into my story and how I wanted to help and assist people, because that's the ultimate goal. We have challenges in our life. Everyone has challenges. I don't care who you are. You have challenges, but you have two choices when you have a challenge in your life. And it could be a divorce. For me, I had a divorce, domestic custody battle, our house burned to the ground. Like, any challenge that you could have, I've probably gone through it. And I think that God gives you these challenges to learn from them, so that you can help someone else go through the same challenge. And I think that that's what the book opportunity that I knew I wanted to be in a book. Did I want to write the whole book myself? Not yet. I think it's there, because I know that there's this nudge from the divine that I need to do that at some point. But being part of a collaboration was really important for me. And being a part of a collaboration of other women and entrepreneurial women, where we have all gone through these challenges, and you have two choices. One, you can, bitch about the challenge to everyone around you and stay in the drama, or you can take the challenge, learn from it, and teach someone else who's going to go through the same challenge. And I've always chosen option number two, not knowingly, not on purpose, where it's like, all right, what's the challenge that I'm going to be facing here? And how can I learn from it so I can teach someone else?
That's powerful. I mean, I think that even when Because even when you've got some drama or trauma or situation going on, sometimes we don't have control. And we know that we're in something that's A, not comfortable, and B, we wish was different. But if you can, within that, see yourself getting up, doing what you need to do. You know, I love the adage of one day at a time sometimes, just getting through and putting that step forward, having a place to go and do whatever you need to do and come back and move forward. If you have a knowingness, and I think that's where a lot of people say faith, right? So if you be in something, but if you have at least faith or hope, or you take activity, or when someone goes, so how are you? And you could, not to say that you shouldn't say what's going on, but even like I had a girlfriend call today and she's like, hey, what happened with this situation? And this situation wasn't necessarily the most, you know, highlighted situation of my year. And I'm like, you know what? I've got a full day today and I don't want to talk about that because it could tend to bring me down and I just don't want to go there. Like having power over your mind and yeah, just making different decisions instead of, like you said, being in it and not being able to contain yourself. Right.
Yeah. And every conversation that I have with people, I mean, you've gotten to know me a bit, so you know that this is 100% true. I want people to leave the conversation going, wow, that was like a highlight of my day, you know?
Yeah.
Something came out of that conversation that was a benefit to them. And I think that that's my God-given gift. And
yeah.
I'd be a sucker not to use it. And so I think for a lot of women, especially with personality dimensions, doing the half day workshop or working with me for a little bit can really help people of what is my core values. We want our businesses to be duplicatable, to have systems that can help people make their job a little bit easier, but we can never duplicate people. You have to be who you are at your core, at your essence, and find out where your strongest strengths are. Like with all of our six kids, the first four growing up, we were probably more traditional in raising them, like how our parents did. Like,
yeah.
Get home, and my dad was a teacher and then my principal for several years. So when I get home from school with a report card back in the day, it would be like, oh, you got an AAA here. Good job. But I know she got a B or a C. What can we do to improve that? That's what we grew up with. And that's what we taught our first four kids. So my spouse did that mm-hmm. with the first two. I did that with my first two. But our youngest two were raised with me having this knowledge of personality dimensions where I'm like, I think we should teach our youngest a little different. And my spouse was like, different. I don't like different. I don't like change. And like, we have to highlight and bring out the best in them. So when they came home with report cards, it was like, wow, I see you really sucked at English. You got like a D. Let's just bring that up to a pass. I don't care what you do, but you're really great at math. Like, you're awesome. Like, let's talk about that. How did that feel getting that A in math? And so our teaching of our kids has even been different where I think with entrepreneurs, it's got to be the same thing. Don't focus on where you're the weakest. You can hire that out because that's someone else's brilliance. Focus on where you're the greatest and where you can shine the most. And that's where you've got to let your light go.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are great words to end on. So I've got a question for you, but before we do, Jody, can you share with people any last words that you have and also where to get in touch with you? And then I'm going to ask you a very important question.
Ooh,
I know.
But my favorite ice cream is, I do not know. No, just kidding. So I think like what I like to leave on is still that, you know, are you being satisfied in your life? That talking of that satisfaction, you know, are you truly doing something that you love to do, or are you just being pulled around by the circumstances around you? So are you reacting or are you creating? And if you want to be more of creative and know your genius, you can contact me. Just go to my website, jodymaley.com. Very easy. Keep it simple, stupid, as my dad always used to say. And yeah. That would be my end thing.
Okay. Well, I'm going to spell her name for you because whenever it comes to Jody's or Kathy's or Debbie's, you know, so it's J-O-D-Y-M-A-L-E-Y. Y.com. For those of you that are listening and want to write it down right away, of course, we're going to have it in the show notes and you can just take a look and it's all going to be there. And yes, Jody, it has been, and like you said, it's when you meet somebody and we always know it's at the right place at the right time. We've probably been in the same circle, but you were energetically vibing with someone and I was energetically vibing with somebody. And then when you get to know somebody, it's like, I know, because it's like, you're like, oh, let's make a time to talk in 2 weeks, even though we don't know what we're going to talk about. We just know that there's a reason why you're coming together. That's when you've got like a strong vibe going on and you got, there's other plans at play. And sometimes you know them and sometimes you don't. So I think take Jody's advice and go with that. Right. So Jody, here's the big, big thing. Now, you know, by now hanging out with me a little bit, I've got this, you know, 12-step program need around my issue of music. So I always say to people, I'll never be late for a meeting unless it's the end of a song and I just can't hang up. So if I'm ever late, I'm like, oh, it's just getting a cup of tea. I wasn't. I was listening to a song and I couldn't hang up. I'm just going to be completely transparent. So I love music. It's kind of for me like air. And it's one of my tools that I use to stay happy, for sure. So I got this big project going on. Myself and my girlfriend, we're going to hoof ourselves across Ireland soon enough and raise money for the music industry. So not only do I love music, but it is so highlighted for me right now. So here's my question for you. You're on your way to a desert island, which as a mother of six sometimes probably is your fantasy.
Yes.
So you're going to a desert island, but you're by yourself. Hey. And you're packing your suitcase and that's it. You're going. You can take one album with you. So what is the album that you would take? What's the songs you could never not listen to again?
Album.
I know.
Some secret people don't know about me is that I was this close to being a concert pianist.
Oh,
I actually compiled my own music that I've liked and enjoyed. So I would probably bring my own music with me to listen to. My own.
Wow.
If I had to go on an island, it would probably be me playing the piano of some of my favorite songs. And I love music like Christine Aguilera, The Beautiful is probably one of my favorite songs. That would definitely be on the list, but it would be a compilation of stuff that I've put together myself.
Okay. So it'd be your own. So, but if you were to bring something from someone else, it would be Christina Aguilera.
Something from someone else. It would probably be that album that would have Beautiful on it.
Okay.
I believe every woman's beautiful and we need to be reminded of that inner beauty all the time.
Yes. Every day. And start with telling it to yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for coming on to Mission Accepted. And please share this episode. You guys have been fantastic. Thank you so much for your support and your comments. We really appreciate it. So share this episode of Jody's. And if you fall in the category of entrepreneur, entrepreneur, creative, media, and you are Gen Z or not, please reach out. Love to have a conversation about you being on the show. Look on Amazon soon enough as of July 14th, 2022 for the release of 22, and then I was like, entrepreneurial woman in network marketing, and you're going to see it everywhere and it'll be on the show and we talk about it lots. And I'm sure when you contact Jody, she'd be happy to sign a copy for you. So thanks again. See you next week.